Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 0.8 seconds to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
We're out for it! Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Welcome into another edition of the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio. Stream it at clnsradio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, alongside Nick Gelso. We're going to do this thing again after what has to be considered a disappointing loss at the hands of the Atlanta Hawks. The Celtics fall in Atlanta tonight, 118-107. We're going to talk about it with you. You guys can vent if you're as frustrated as I am. We welcome your phone calls at 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. That's your SeatGeek toll-free phone line for venting purposes only. We will get into the playoff picture and how tonight's loss affects the Celtics in their chase for home court come playoff time, as the playoffs begin 1 week from today. But I want to bring in Nick here and talk about what has to be considered just an absolute disappointment. The Celtics put up 71 points in the first half, Nick, and they just clearly lost their legs as this game sort of hit the three-minute mark of the fourth quarter. It was obvious to me. I'm sure it was obvious to you.
Yeah, Patrick, it's very frustrating when you watch a tale of two halves like that. As an observer, it's frustrating to get into the game. And the Celtics, as we've seen throughout the course of the season, so goes, you know, their perimeter shot goes, so they go. And the offense just really fell into the toilet in the second half. And right after that third quarter run by Atlanta, they never really recovered.
No, they didn't. And, you know, the Celtics blew a 12-point lead, a 12-point third-quarter lead. And, again, they hung tough for the majority of the fourth quarter. But, again, the legs just weren't there. This is two consecutive nights, and this has become like a problem for me, where Isaiah Thomas did not lead the way in scoring. I believe he finished the game with 16 on 5 or 6 of 19 shooting. It just isn't classic Isaiah. And after the great six-week stretch that he had post-All-Star break, Nick, this is what I talked about last night. This is what I'm worried about come playoff time. Isaiah Thomas is a phenomenal player, but he has carried the Celtics for the majority of the season. It's clear he doesn't have his legs right now. Is the right move to fight for that fourth spot, that third spot in the conference and home court, or is the right move for Brad Stevens to consider shutting Isaiah Thomas down for the final two games of the regular season?
I almost think health going into the playoffs must be a priority all the time. Am I wrong? I mean, right? Health is a priority, and the Celtics really need to they need to make sure their players are healthy. So, yeah, while I want to see home court advantage, I don't know. I think last night you and Scotty touched on it a bit, where you talked about, you know, especially Scotty was saying home court advantage is not all that important to this team. And we've seen their road record, especially in the first half of the season. They played so well on the road. I don't know that it's necessarily – I think health has to trump everything.
You know, health, I believe, has to trump everything at this point. The Celtics have come too far this season, Nick, to really have health be a determining factor come playoff time here. It would be a shame to see the Celtics bounced out early because Isaiah Thomas isn't playing as effectively as he did for the majority of the season. Again, that's just one problem of many tonight. The Celtics made their bones the last 2 years on the defensive end. The defense wasn't there this evening. You could tell the will was there. The heart was there. Again, what concerns me is the legs. And let's not forget, this is the second night of a back-to-back with travel on the road. Historically, NBA teams struggle in that sort of arena. The Celtics have been historically good on the second night of back-to-backs with travel, but I'm going to try not to hold this against them for too long. They'll have a quick chance to rebound here. They're back home on Monday against the Charlotte Hornets, and then they close out the season at the Garden Wednesday against Miami. Again, two monster games. the Celtics in just 48 hours will be sitting here again doing post-game coverage. We'll have a much better idea as to who and what this team is as far as positioning goes very, very quickly here. The Celtics fans won't have to wait too long to feel much better or much worse about their basketball team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is hard to believe that we are now approaching, you know, what, one week from today, the Celtics will be playing playoff basketball. Unbelievable.
Exactly. 1 week from today, the Celtics will be playing playoff games, hopefully at the Garden. We're not sure who that opponent will be yet, but it's okay. We have plenty of time to get there. Stay tuned to CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, between the post-game show, the Garden Report, Celtics Beat Tomorrow with LHR. John and Justin, we're all here for you, and whoever that first-round opponent is, we will be here on CLNS Radio to break it all down for you. The Celtics losers tonight in Atlanta, a disappointing loss, truly a second-half collapse. The final score, 118-107. The number to join us here in the SeatGeek toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. How are you feeling, Celtics Nation, as we wind down the regular season here? We would be remiss if we didn't bring up Marcus Smart. We killed him on these airwaves. I killed him on my airwaves on ESPN Radio for weeks. This guy was hurting the Celtics more than helping them on the offensive end for a prolonged four-week stretch. It seems since the Laker game last Sunday, he's turned things around offensively. He led the way offensively for the Celtics tonight. He looks a lot smoother, a lot more fluid out there. So, you know, again, if you're looking for positive signs here, you're getting positive contributions from Marcus Smart, and Amir Johnson continues to play this improved brand of basketball that we've seen post-All-Star break. Again, the number here, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Let's hit the phones. It's Alan, your first up on the Celtics postgame show. Alan, what's on your mind?
Hey, I was calling just to talk about the game tonight and how disappointing the outcome was, especially after a very promising first half and beginning of the third quarter as the Celtics were up 12 with 5 minutes left. I just want to talk to you a little bit about the depth of the Celtics, how I always said it's always great to have depth, especially when you have injuries along the lines of a long season. But also I feel like it's our Achilles heel. You have guys who come out and have good quarters, good first quarter, and then they sit for an extended amount of time. Then they don't get back in until, I don't know, 5 minutes left in the second quarter. So they're sitting out, they lose their rhythm. And I feel like tonight, especially Amir Johnson, who was playing really, really good. He was finishing at the hoop. He was rebounding, playing good defense. I feel like when he came out of the game in the third quarter for Sullinger and for Jarebko, that right there was like the turning point. Sullinger is not a good matchup, especially against the Hawks, but their bigs are kind of – they're pretty athletic. They play inside and outside. Tough matchup right against Horford and Millsap. And he just – he absolutely killed us out there tonight. And I just want to see what you guys thought about Steven.
Alan, yeah.
It's
interesting that you're mentioning this because it was a big topic of discussion even after last night's win. The rotations and Brad Stevens going so deep into his bench. Now I'm going to throw this one right back at you. What do you think going into the playoffs? This was a big topic last night on the show. What do you think going into the playoffs, going as teams are starting to shorten their bench, you know, going to a 6- and 7-man rotation, Brad Stevens is still going 8 to 10 to 11 men deep?
I say he has to tighten it down a little bit, kind of pick his spots and look for matchups. It's not like, all right, it's this guy's turn. He goes in with, you know, 6 minutes up in the first, he plays 4 minutes, scratch that. You have to go with ride the hot hand. So if Thomas and Crowder have unbelievable first quarters, ride them out. Put some minutes on these guys. I mean, they only play 25, 30 minutes tops. These guys aren't tired. They're professional athletes. If they have to play 30 minutes, 40 minutes, so be it. And also, I like when they go small with Isaiah, Avery Bradley, Smart, and they put Crowder at the 4, and then and pair that with Amir Johnson. Now you got your four best defenders on the court at once who can all score, and then you're anchored still with a little bit of size with Amir. And I think with Crowder's his versatility, he can guard two through four effectively. So why not use that to your advantage? Let's go up and down the court. Let's open it up. Let's dribble drive. Let's kick for open threes. And that's the lineup they had in the beginning of the third quarter. And then they took it out and put in Sellinger and they put in Jarebko. And then
Alan, do you
the
think,
offense
yeah.
went anemic.
Do you think maybe Stevens is mindful of minutes looking at the way of, especially tonight, the Celtics seem to deflate down the stretch? Could be the fact that he tweaked the lineup in the third quarter, but it also could be some tired on the second night of back-to-back. So do you think it's possible that Stevens is going deep into the bench to kind of rest people going into the playoffs, or are we going to see this, in your opinion, throughout the postseason?
I mean, tonight, whether it is or wasn't, that was a playoff game tonight. That was battling for the third seed. You're battling, and then I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of the Hawks just because they play so fundamentally sound. They're everyone 1 through 5 hits threes. And
yep.
another matchup that I absolutely hate is Cephalosha on Turner on offense, because Turner dominates the ball when he's in, creates and shoots. And I just feel like Cephalosha is one step quicker than him on all his moves. And this kind of makes me very nervous. But in the regards to preserving the guys, they only play 25 to 28 minutes a game. These guys are athletes. LeBron's out there playing 42 minutes a game.
Alan, I have to stop you there because, you know, we've talked a lot about this and we appreciate the phone call. The small ball lineup is nice and it certainly extended the lead for the Celtics. You're right there. But I think that if you take a closer look at the box score, something that really stands out to me is Jared Sellinger. His lack of minutes, his lack of production, only 11 minutes tonight. I believe he has 4 points on the evening. We call this a playoff game because intensity-wise, it was fought like a playoff game. The crowd was into it, which is hard to do in Atlanta. That place is a very stale building, to be kind to the Atlanta fans. This is a playoff intensity game, but I think Brad Stevens was coaching with a much bigger picture in his mind, guys, because I believe with all of my heart that if this were a true playoff game where everything were on the line, Jared Sellinger is going to be rolled out there for 28 to 32 minutes. He has all season long. So we talk about the rest versus playing argument, and the argument can be made on both ends of things. But if you look at Sellinger, historically, the Celtics were able to avoid the annual Sellinger injury this year. And it's because Brad Stevens did such a masterful job of monitoring his minutes, despite the fact that you know it had to have been very tempting to overextend Jared Sellinger. Let's face it, he's their best, most offensively skilled big man. He can extend to three. He's got the softest hands on the team in the paint. He's an excellent passer, and their offense is better when Jared Sellinger is on the floor. For Brad Stevens to have limited Sellinger to only 11 minutes tonight tells me that each and every one of these next two games, I think that what Brad is doing is he's sort of going to pick and choose his guys and give them sporadic rest. So tonight was Sellinger's turn. I promise you, one of these last two games, it has to be Isaiah Thomas's turn. I truly believe that this is the road that Brad Stevens is going down, because ultimately, if you got Brad Stevens alone in a closet with truth serum, he would tell you that although seeding is nice and home court advantage would be nice, it's all about having these guys 100% healthy when they roll that ball out 1 week from today.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, Patrick. I completely, man. Good take, man. Hey, I don't want to change the subject. Before we go to the next caller, how about them Suns?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we should take a closer look around the NBA as we do this show, more next year, and really dedicate some time to other things happening around the league, because, you know, as locked in as we get to six coverage here and what's going on in Boston, this has been one hell of an NBA season. There's so many storylines out there, Nick, whether it's a team like the Suns, or if you're watching right now, the Grizzlies, 3 points over the Warriors with 4 minutes remaining. If the Warriors lose tonight's game, the chase for 73 is over. And again, bringing that truth serum back out that we just gave to Brad Stevens, I'll bet if you got Steve Kerr alone in a room, part of him already has the record from being on that Bulls team, and part of him would just like this thing to be over, this chase for 73. I think that he desperately needs his team healthy, his team re-energized and refocused towards the bigger picture, which is, of course, winning back-to-back NBA championships. They've sort of gotten honed in on big time by ESPN, by all the major national outlets, this chase for 73. And it looks like there's a damn good chance the chase for 73 could be over tonight. So, again, you know, if you want to listen to us and turn ESPN on, turn the volume down, you're going to miss one hell of a finish here. As, again, the Grizzlies, surprisingly, with just 4 minutes to go, are up 93-90 over the Warriors. Chase for 73 wins. Again, it's the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio and CLNSradio.com. The number to join us here, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Of course, that is your SeatGeek toll-free phone line. And don't forget, CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, that's right here, right now with me, to the Garden Report and to Celtics, CLNS Radio will now provide basketball fans game day coverage before anybody else leading up to tip-off. The all-new Boston Celtics pregame show with Larry H. Russell will be released on CLNSradio.com on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, making it the first pregame show available in the market on any given game day. Again, it's the Celtics pregame show every single game day, launching at 4 o'clock Eastern Time before game day. And as we roll into the playoffs here, that pregame show is going to get very, very interesting here. I'm just curious to see how Larry is going to break down, say, game five or game six, you know, the fifth or sixth guest that he has to get for the same opponent. I know Larry will pull something out. I'm just curious to see what Larry's going to do.
He'll have the mascot on. He'll have the mascot on.
The Celtics losers tonight, disappointing fashion, 118-107 in their final road game of season. Let's head back to the phones. You guys are waiting patiently on the SeatGeek toll-free phone line. Sam, you're up next on the Celtics postgame show. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Like everyone, I'm disappointed tonight in losing tonight. You know, I was really excited. I pumped my fist when we were up 12. And it looked like we were looked like we had, and we were on our way. But just to highlight some of the positives, it is nice to see Marcus Smart hit those four threes.
Yes.
He shot them confidently. He really hasn't lost confidence. He takes those shots when they're there. So, and the other thing I've noticed over the last month or so, it seems to me like when he gets in the paint, he's still not finishing great, but his point guard skills, he seems to see the play before it happens more. I really like his passing in the lane. And I just have a lot more confidence in him going forward. I was starting to think maybe he didn't have an offensive game, right? I couldn't see where he was going to score from going forward. But lately, yeah, he's doing well, and I'm glad to see it going into the playoffs because we're going to need him. And, in fact, you know, going forward, I'm kind of hoping to see going into next year him handling the ball in the second unit. Maybe Turner won't be there, but I'd like to see that for his development. What's that?
You want to see Turner go? Was that
no,
a knock on him, Turner?
Hold on.
I don't
What's going on with all this Turner hate? Hold on.
No, I appreciate Turner's game. He's done a lot for us this year. You know, he's been clutch. But I'd like to see more. I like seeing Rozier play, but a couple times like tonight, I see Stevens bring him in the fourth quarter.
Sammy, there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. You broke up for a minute there. Keep going. Repeat that, Sam.
I have a question for you regarding Rozier. Sometimes Stevens seems to bring him in the fourth like he did tonight cold. Is he just bringing him in for a few minutes? Or, I mean, I like his game. I want to see him out there. I'm just wondering why he brings him in the fourth so often.
Yeah. Patrick, you want to jump on that one?
I truly believe that Terry Rozier started to earn minutes when Jay Crowder's injury occurred, 14 games ago now, and the Celtics went on that little mini four-game losing streak. And he earned the minutes in practice all season long. I've had the opportunity to be there for a handful of practices this year, and his teammates really respect the hell out of him. The coaching staff does, and he earned those minutes. But again, this is just a temporary sort of minute filler solution for Brad Stevens. Terry Rozier, if we see him for any more than 2 or 3 minutes, unless it is a specialized defensive scheme that the Celtics are running, it's because they're either being blown out or blowing their playoff opponent out. So again, you know, we talk a lot about the Celtics resting players down the stretch here. I think that Terry Rozier has seen an increase in minutes, mainly because, you know, Evan Turner went down with some injury issues with the eye. You, of course, Jay Crowder's injury issues. Avery Bradley missed a couple of games for the birth of his second son. You know, you've had some situations come up for the Celtics in the last month, the last 30 days, not ideal situations as you're winding down the season, that have presented an opportunity for the Celtics to turn to Terry Rozier. And I applaud him for making the most out of those minutes. But, you know, the Celtics will have to tighten up their rotation come playoff time. Now, I don't think they'll tighten it up to the extent that these other teams do, where it becomes a true 7-8-man rotation. I still think you'll go 9 or 10 deep, but I do think that the odd man out come playoff time will be Terry Rozier. But it has been pleasant to see a Celtics rookie make an impact on the court. It's something we all expected out of R.J. Hunter this year. It never happened. Besides a few flashes out of Jordan Mickey, it really hasn't happened for him either this year. So, again, on a Celtics team where it is very difficult for a young guy to crack the rotation and have an impactful role, I applaud Terry Rozier for what he's been able to accomplish. But again, if you're seeing extended minutes for Rozier come playoff time, things probably aren't going according to plan, so to speak, for Brad Stevens. You know, Nick, do you agree? Because, you know, I've had this discussion on my show on ESPN Radio a handful of times, especially when Marcus Smart was sort of taking the brunt of the anger from the fans during his horrific month of March shooting-wise. And people were calling in saying, you know, Terry Rozier is a better offensive player, a better offensive option right now over Marcus Smart. And I think that's a laughable argument, but I can see why the fans would think that in the moment. Because Terry Rozier has shown some very good flashes, but it's not all put together yet.
All right. I'd agree, too. And plus, I think that though Rozier has to develop – we're now in, what, year three of Marcus Smart? Year three? And really, with all the injuries, maybe it's year one and a half. So Smart needs playing time. And he's still developing. He, like I said, with all the injuries, he's not played full NBA seasons. I think that Stevens has to allow Smart to play through some of these struggles.
And I think that that's the bigger picture right there. And we all forget that Brad Stevens is doing the ultimate balancing act with this team. Post-trade deadline, post-David Lee's exile from the Celtics, instantly they became the second youngest team age-wise on paper in the NBA. And I think that, you know, people lose sight of that because they do play a very mature brand of basketball for the most part, a brand of basketball that is sort of, it starts on the defensive end. They try and play that pace and space, San Antonio Spurs type of offense. And it's a very mature brand of basketball. I think it's the only way that I can put it. As opposed to watching, let's say, the Cleveland Cavaliers, where there's still a tremendous amount of isolation basketball. You typically get an ISO-heavy basketball game on younger teams. If you watch the Philadelphia 76ers, it's all isolation. But for the Celtics to play this pace and space, moving without the ball, and starting on the defensive end, it's a very mature game that they play. But again, Brad Stevens has been doing a masterful balancing act, balancing a roster full of young kids and guys in their early to mid-20s. He doesn't really have veterans to lean on. Tonight in the fourth quarter, it would have been nice to have a veteran presence a la a Paul Pierce that you could feed the ball to when the game was sort of breaking down with 3 minutes to go. They don't have the luxury of that right now. So again, Brad Stevens has really maximized the talent of this roster and done it through scheming, which is typically a very difficult thing to do for a young team. It's the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio. You stream us on clnsradio.com. You find us on the CLNS Radio app. for your iTunes device, for your Android device. The number to join us here, as always, 347-215-7771. 347-215-7771 is your SeatGeek toll-free hotline. I want to keep pounding these phones because, again, we are just 1 week away from playoff basketball, and I want to feel the excitement from you guys, the fans out there on CLNS Radio. Let's head back to the phones. It's Alan, Alan number two. You're next up on the program this evening. Alan, tell me you're as angry as I am about a missed opportunity that the Celtics let one slip away tonight.
I'm not really that angry. I mean, the Hawks are a good team. But, you know, so by the way, it's all, it is Marcus Smart's second year.
Okay,
it's
so it's
Marcus
his
second,
second
year.
Year. So, okay,
yeah,
year
I mean,
two, and how many injuries? How many games has he lost to injuries?
Well,
how many games has he set out? Okay, so quite a bit. So let's call it year one and a quarter.
Yeah. It's definitely not his third year. So I don't think I said.
Thanks. So thanks for correcting me.
I think he had a tough game. You know, I think that they're going to have trouble with spacing in the playoffs. And I think, you know, I just agree with a lot of people. I think Sellinger is part of the problem with that. He's, you know, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Bass last year. Get to the playoffs. People don't cover a four that stands just 1 foot inside the three-point line and shoots 40% from there. They're just going to back off. That's why Sellinger's always wide open, because the guy, his man is standing in the lane and won't let Thomas drive.
You don't think that the Celtics miss him? Let's take your point offensively. I would like to debate you on that a little bit, but I'm going to leave it alone for a moment. Let's just look at it strictly from a rebounding point of view, Alan. You don't think that the Celtics desperately missed his presence out there tonight, at least rebounding-wise, while Paul Millsap was going out there scoring 31 points, grabbing 16 rebounds, 5 block shots, and 3 steals? I was screaming
Sellinger
for Jared Sellinger.
He can't do anything with Millsap. Millsap's going to take him outside and go right by him. Millsap,
again, rebounding-wise.
What's their on-off numbers with Sellinger is at rebounding and not rebounding?
I'll have to pull it up, but Sellinger's had a tremendous year. I mean, the guy's putting up 15 and 10 a game. The numbers bear
right,
it out throughout the course of the season.
When Sellinger's on the court, their total rebound is 49.9% and 51.3% without him. You know what I mean? It's almost a...
But Amir Johnson can't carry the load. He can't handle the minutes.
I mean, let me jump in on this for a minute here. I'm not a Jared Sellinger fan. I will say it over and over and over. Patrick, I think we went through. I think I said I wanted Perk back in place of him last night, jokingly. All right. The Boston Celtics cannot allow Jared Sellinger to walk without replacing his rebounding numbers. Period. This team is already gets beat up on the front court. Correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, look, the Celtics desperately need a big-time rebounder. You know, we talk a lot about Al Horford. We talk a lot about other rebounding options that the Celtics could potentially bring in. But there's no argument. Right now, Jared Sellinger is the best rebounder on the team. I would like it to be somebody else. Ultimately, I would love Amir Johnson to be 26 years old again and have the type of season he had 3 years ago in Toronto. It's not going to happen. He's a 29-year-old guy going on 35. He's been in the league since he was 18, that last high school class 11 years ago. There's a reason why Brad Stevens desperately has to manage his minutes, and there's a reason why Amir Johnson came on strong to finish the season and came on strong to start the season. But for the middle portion of the season, he was nowhere to be found because Brad Stevens knew what he was getting in Amir. And that's why you saw the development of a guy like Jared Sellinger, because quite frankly, Amir just couldn't handle 30 minutes a night for an 82-game schedule. So I'll tell you what.
Sellinger plays 23 minutes a game.
That's right. That's why you need both of them. And tonight, Sellinger only gave you 11 minutes, and the Celtics got manhandled. I'm not saying they would have won the game if Sellinger gave you his typical 25 minutes, but I'm saying that there was a glaring need out there tonight, especially for fourth quarter offense, the final 3 minutes of the game. And that's something that Jared Sellinger can give you. He is really, right now, legitimately your only offensive option when you go to the post in a slow-it-down game. When they're out there and they're gazelling it up and down the floor, I am with you, Alan. Okay, he doesn't fit in that scheme. But in the fourth quarter,
who does he post up? I don't see him posting up.
You don't see him post up. Well, watch the games in the fourth quarter in a grinded-out game. They often go to him in the post, and he'll often go to the little turn baby hook, or he'll get fouled on his way up. He'll get a big offensive rebound like he did against the Bucks last night. This guy goes out there and he gives you contributions in the fourth quarter. I'm not the biggest Sullinger guy in the world, and it's almost out of necessity that he's gotten the opportunity that he has. But do me a favor and call us back this offseason when some team gives him 5 years at $15 million a year and he cashes into a $60 to $75 million deal, because that's the type of player that he is. And that's not my opinion. That's the opinion of NBA guys much smarter than me.
What's he going to do with a four-year contract, $15 million a year? This is the best shape he will ever be in right now. It's his contract year.
You're preaching to the choir. You understand that, right? Like, I'm on your side. You're preaching to the choir here.
The ball don't lie.
So he doesn't fit, for one. He's not the type of player for the system. And
what system exactly did Celtics run? Because I hear this a lot. He's not the type of player for the system. I think the genius of Brad Stevens is that he gets the most out of his players. And if he were given guys like Kevin Love or completely different players than he has right now, he would get the best out of them and run a completely different system. The system the Celtics run right now is what's best for the talent that Brad Stevens has been given. And Brad Stevens has gotten the best out of Jared Sullinger. He's had his best season as a pro this year. Yes, it's a contract season. And yes, maybe he's 7 pounds lighter than he was last year. But whatever Brad Stevens has done with him, it's the first time in his career that he's made it through a season pretty much injury-free. And in his contract year, he's giving you 14 and almost 10 a night. And he will be given a $15 million a year deal.
14 what? He averages 10 points and 8 rebounds. I don't know. Like, where's this 14 come from?
I want you to look at Jared Sullinger's numbers post All-Star break this year, okay? And then I want you to Google Jared Sullinger and contract. And you tell me, call us back and you tell me what national NBA pundits are saying Jared Sullinger will get in free agency.
Well, you tell
me
what players ever got in better shape after they've gotten a big contract.
Again, I think you're right. I don't think you'll get the best out of Jared Sellinger after he cashes in any four McDoubles. But you're projecting out what Jared Sellinger is going to be, right? You're trying to project it out post-contract. You can't do that because he earns the money based on what he's done this year. And Jared Sellinger has been the best Celtic front court player that they've got this season.
Wow.
Compared to who?
Compared to anybody else on the roster right now, this season.
That doesn't make you good. Everyone bashes the Celtics big men, but then you're like, well, he's the best of the Celtics big men. Well, oh, that's great.
Who's better? Tyler Zeller? Jonas Jerebko? I mean, who's better?
All right, so you're naming really bad people, and you're saying he's better than them.
Who else is there? Are you going to tell me Jay Crowder because he's 6'7" and plays the 3 and the 4
no.
because I don't consider him a big? Who's better on their roster right now?
Nobody, but that doesn't make you good. Do you understand that? It doesn't make you good because everybody else on your team is bad?
No, it earns you a big contract when you produce.
When Tyler Zeller's just as effective, when Amir Johnson is playing more minutes than you right now and more effective.
Again, you can't look at tonight's game as a snapshot because Brad Stevens does this quite a bit. If you look at the box scores on a nightly basis, like I do for my job, by the way, there's always one or two guys that are left out of the rotation. He plays the matchups. Atlanta is not a good matchup in Brad Stevens' mind for a guy like Jared Sellinger. It's just what it is. But he's very likely to come back out. He might not even play extended minutes on Monday against Charlotte because, again, it's a tough matchup for a guy like Jared Sellinger. But on Wednesday against the Heat in a slow-it-down, grind-it-out game, you'll get a double-double from Sellinger. And I'll be right here for you to call me back, and we can talk about it.
I think
that's
I'm here,
fine.
Too.
I will.
I hope I am.
He's going to shoot 8 shots from 19 feet, and then going to make 3, like, every game.
Again, Jared Sellinger has produced this year. We could go back and forth. I don't think that he's a foundation player. I don't think he's a fringe all-star. I am not on the Jared Sellinger bandwagon, but he's the best of the bunch this season.
Do you think he's going to be better than he is right now in 2 years?
I think he'll be just about the same, barring injury.
Well, if the Celtics don't upgrade their bigs and Sellinger upgrades Sellinger, it's irrelevant anyway. I don't care if you add Kevin Durant. If you don't upgrade Amir and Sullinger, you're not beating Cleveland, San Antonio, Golden State, Toronto. I don't care.
You might not.
That's a valid point, yeah.
But
so
you might not. But in the last calendar year, the last 13 months, the Celtics currently have the seventh best record in the NBA over the course of the last 13 months. That's with Jared Sollinger. So you're right. There's the next crop of teams, the next class of teams. I don't think anybody here would disagree with you that for the Celtics to crack that next tier, they need to upgrade their talent. And Jared Sollinger is an upgradable position, an upgradable player. But again, for this year's team, he's had one hell of a season, in my opinion, where he's finally started to look like the guy that was a projected lottery pick. We talked about this last night. Jared Sollinger is a guy, talent-wise, that has all the tools. He could be truly a two-way, very dynamic player. And it boggles my mind why guys like Jared Sollinger can't get themselves into prime physical conditioning, prime physical shape. He just can't do it. But I think Brad Stevens, again, is to be applauded for getting the best out of Jared Sollinger and preventing the typical Sollinger injury.
I have to agree there. I mean, Jared Sully has, over the course of his career, had injury after injury after injury. And I think Celtics fans feel like they almost criticize him when he's not playing significant minutes. But that's just Stevens managing his minutes. And again, I'm not a Sully fan. I don't want to give him a huge raise coming into this, you know, this big off season, but he's going to get paid the money. The cap is changing. He's going to get paid the money. And with that, he may walk. So what's the solution, Pat?
You know, it's funny because I really believe that the Celtics will go into free agency this year and they're going to try and swing for the fences. They're going to have to do something with Jared. He's a restricted free agent. And I think that they're really going to take it slow with him and let him play the field a bit. I think what's going to help the Celtics is that there are some big dominoes that need to fall. And historically speaking, the second and third tier type of free agents like to wait and see what happens. So this year it'll be Al Horford. It'll be Kevin Durant. It'll be the prime time free agents, the ones that everybody's talking about. And once those guys have sort of selected their next destination, their contracts have been signed, the next tier down will become, you know, the big group of free agents. And that's where Jared Sollinger fits in. So the Celtics will have the luxury, I believe, and they also have the luxury of matching any offer. As a restricted free agent, and people lose sight of this, if somebody goes out there and gives him, you know, 3 years,
right,
$15 million a year, that's $45 million, and the Celtics strike out and they don't get their man, they don't get Al Horford, well, Danny Ainge may be forced to match that contract just to put a talented player back on the floor. But I think because he's in that second tier of talented free agents, that helps the Celtics and their timing and their decision-making, because they'll be able to either go out there and acquire an Al Horford, and then that makes Jared Sollinger totally expendable, or somebody else will snatch up an Al Horford, and they may have to sort of go back to Sollinger with their hat in their hands and say, okay, Sully, we need you back.
Great answer. Dude, I got to tell you, I've known you for a long time, and I've never heard you get so heated. And I got to say, I kind of loved it.
you need to tune into the early days. I think the archives are somewhere on the internet.
The archives
of my
are
radio
somewhere.
Show.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun going back and forth like that. But I love passionate fans, and it brings out that other side of me. I can be your total radio pro, or I can, you know, lose it a little bit. And guys like that,
class, man,
they bring out the
don't
best in me,
yourself.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I got to say, I mean, I commented over in the host chat, I'm just basically like Robin on Howard Stern on this episode. I'm just going to let Patrick go off on an epic rant, and I'll just put in a side comment here and there, because let me tell you, that was classic, and you did it with class, and Alan was a great caller, a first-time caller, so hopefully he will take you up on that challenge and call back if Sully does not get that double-double.
I hope he does. I love guys like that. It's guys like him that allow you and I to have jobs like this. So that, you know, and that's the perspective that you have to keep when you get a caller like that, because he represents the guys that pay for the tickets, the guys that watch Comcast, the guys that give us the audience to be able to do a show like this. So believe it or not, Alan, I'm a fan of yours, and I appreciate you bringing it the way you did on the program tonight. The program is the Celtics Post Game Show. It's heard right here on CLNS Radio and CLNSradio.com. If you want to be like Alan and call us at 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. That is your SeatGeek toll-free phone line. It is free to call in and to talk Celtics with Nick, talk Celtics with me. And if you want to have a heated debate, we can do that too. You know, today's podcast, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. Audiobooks are great to listen to when you're driving, running errands in the gym, debating callers on the Celtics postgame show, or doing whatever you like to do. You want to check out a 30-free-day trial, you head on over to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics for your free 30 days. Again, the number to join us here, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. The Celtics lose in their final road game of the season. A disappointing loss, so one where the Celtics, I compare this game a lot to the game on the West Coast road trip against Portland. It was there for the taking. The Celtics collapsed uncharacteristically. They looked tired on the second night of a back-to-back. Your final score, 118-107, and they're not going to have much time to sort of regroup and rebound here. They come home for the final two games of the regular season, game Monday against Charlotte, game Wednesday against Miami. Then you roll it out for the playoffs, and seeding is still the biggest story in Boston right now. The Celtics now one full game behind the Atlanta Hawks for the number three seed in the conference, and currently they're a half a game over the Heat and the Charlotte Hornets, who ironically they'll be facing this week for the fourth spot. So again, the Celtics, when it comes to the ability to have home court, they control their own destiny. And I think that if you had told you, Nick, or if you had told me back in October that with two games to go in the regular season, the Celtics would have an opportunity to control their own destiny on whether or not they've got home court advantage come playoff time, that's a deal that I would have taken. I think you would have taken it too, Nick.
Yeah, and if you were to tell me at the beginning of the Brad Stevens era, which what I was corrected on Marcus Smart's years in the league, so I don't want to screw this up, I'd say 3 years for Brad Stevens as head coach.
If you were to tell me third season,
3 years into his great 5-year contract, that the Boston Celtics would be fighting for third seed in the conference 3 years after trading away Garnett and Pierce, I would tell you you're crazy. So kudos to Danny Ainge, kudos to Brad Stevens, and kudos to the guys on the court. These guys play with passion.
They do, and it's something that, you know, if you're an NBA fan and a fan of other teams other than the Celtics, and you watch them on ESPN or you watch the package, and you know you just can't get enough basketball, it's something you don't see a lot of out there. A lot of these teams win pure talent, and there's nothing wrong with that. Pure talent generally gets you W's in the NBA. It's very rare that you have a team that is truly building a college-like program, and I believe that's what Brad Stevens is doing here. These guys have all, for the most part, checked their egos at the door. And if you don't think that a guy like Evan Turner had an ego problem in his failed attempts with the Indiana Pacers, then you weren't watching Pacer basketball at the time. You know, these guys had chips on their shoulder. They had giant egos, and they were getting in their way. And Brad Stevens has found the magic formula here to get the most out of these guys. But going back to Allen's point, the Celtics will need to upgrade the talent on their roster to crack that next tier of teams. And in that tier of teams, you've got the Toronto Raptors and you've got the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think that's what's forthcoming for the Celtics. That's what's next for the Celtics. But in order for them to get there, I think a huge part of getting there is having a great showing in this year's playoffs. They've done everything right. The Boston Celtics sales pitch to free agents could not have gone any more perfectly than it has the last 12 months, Nick. You've got the right coach. The right coach is getting the attention from the best players in the NBA. You've got NBA opponents singing the praises of guys like Avery Bradley on Twitter and saying he should be an all-defensive team guy. The Celtics and the rest of the NBA have finally taken notice of a guy like Isaiah Thomas, who's competing to be an all-NBA first, second, or third teamer this year. You've got a great environment over there at the Garden. You've got the cap space to bring not one, but two free agents. So you can tell free agent, A, bring your friend, free agent B, we can afford you both, and all the assets. Everything is lined up perfectly, except one thing. Guys also want to win. So I think a great showing in this year's playoffs, on most of these games will be on national TV, whether it's Turner or ABC or ESPN. I think that all plays a part in it. And you better believe if the Celtics make it to the second round and they put up one hell of a dogfight, let's say they lose to Toronto in 6 or 7 games, that is the final cherry on that sundae of the Celtics offseason sales pitch.
Agree. I couldn't agree more. You mentioned the Garden crowd, and I've got to – I know it's a bit off topic, but I got to jump on that for a minute. A lot going around on Twitter about how annoying the PA announcer is in Atlanta. I find it very hard to focus on games when the PA announcer is cheering for the home team.
It's hard to do. We're not used to it being at the Garden as often as we are. There's a handful of these guys around the league that really sort of get me going. This guy in Atlanta is one of them. The guy that started it all, in my opinion, is the guy in Detroit. He really gets on my nerves. It's difficult to sort of watch. And I'm glad the Celtics – and, you know, the Celtics aren't totally innocent here. They've resorted to some of the NBA gimmicks that I don't care for all that much. I don't think you need them. I don't think you need Lucky with a cardboard sign telling me to get loud. I'm going to get loud. You know,
but we do need Gino, though. Don't
clearly
take Gino
we need
away.
Gino.
Don't take Gino away. No, Red would be rolling over – or is rolling over at some of the antics at the Garden. But still, the proof of Celtics fans, their knowledge of basketball, their knowledge and their love of their team, it was clearly made when Marv Albert made the comment about piped-in audio from the crowd, which never happens at TD Garden. And it does happen in a lot of arenas. Now, we're getting off topic here, but it is very hard for a fan or an observer to watch the game when the PA announcer is cheering "Let's go Hawks." You know, it's difficult.
I was at the game, and again, we'll get off this again and go back to
the Celtics and the Hawks.
But I have to say this: I was at the game, the Heat playoff game, Game 6, when the Celtics went in with a 3-2 lead at the Garden, and they got blown out. LeBron James blew the doors off the Celtics. I was there. I was there working. I wasn't there as a fan. And that right. "Let's go Celtics" chant, the last 45, 50 seconds, the goosebumps, the hair, the tears. I mean, it was all real, and it was all there. And it was there for 17,000 people that remained to sort of put the Celtics in the right frame of mind as they went on the road for what was the last game of the Big Three era. And I think that you don't get that anywhere else. Fans don't have that sort of foresight anywhere else or that appreciation anywhere else. And I think that's going to be a huge part of the Celtics free agency pitch here. But the thing to me that really brings it all home is that the Celtics aren't looking for a savior. They're looking for the last piece. And I think there's a big difference when you're making your free agency pitch in savior versus big piece.
Huge, huge difference. You've got a coach. We talked about it last night. You've got a coach where last year during the playoffs, LeBron James went on a marketing pitch for him for some reason. So he's loved and respected around the league, really respected. He's young, and he's getting the best out of, not the most the greatest talent on this roster, and he's getting the best out of them 2 years straight. And, again, they're looking to kind of complete the puzzle with one or two pieces in this offseason and makes it all the more worth it for a player – not to say Kevin Durant, but someone like a Durant who's who's now at the point in their career where they are trying to put the cap on their legacy and their career to be remembered. And no better way to be remembered, I hate to say it, but as a Laker, a Celtic, maybe even a Piston to a certain extent, players look to these franchises, especially L.A. and Boston, for a way to close out their career, unless you're Ray Allen.
It's funny because we've spent so much time now talking about Kevin Durant. I feel like if the Celtics go out and, say, trade for Jimmy Butler or somebody of that ilk, we'll all be disappointed. And that's just mind-blowing to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's Kevin Durant or bust, and that scares me a little bit. But we've got the whole offseason to talk about that. The Celtics lose tonight in Atlanta. They get absolutely murdered by Paul Millsap, who has 31, 16, 5, and 3. He torched the Celtics for a season-high 118 to 107. The number to join us here, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771, as the Celtics are on the plane headed home for their final two games of the regular season before the playoffs start just 1 week from tonight. I want to get back to the phones. It's my good friend Nick Sesento. You're up next on the Celtics post-game show. Nick, what's on your mind this evening?
Yeah, definitely a good show. Great call from both Allens.
Double Allen tonight.
Double Allen.
Yeah, we got
tonight,
double
Allen. The second Allen I can take some credit for. I've been urging him to jump on the CLNS radio call call lines for a while.
He
certainly made
tonight.
His presence felt.
Yeah, definitely.
Made his
I was totally shocked. I'm like, I listened to Pat, and he's just like this real straight guy, this real, you know, you get this clean cut image, and then, you know, you touch, I guess, that nerve, and he just went off. I didn't expect that. There was absolutely no cue to Pat that, hey, this is Alan from, you know, the Bleed Green group. An issue. He just was completely 100% organic, let's say that exchange, 100% organic.
He started out great by correcting me, and you know what I deserve?
Yeah, yeah.
I know my facts.
That's always the best way to handle
facts.
It.
Yeah, but I know my facts. I got a little aggravated, but I should know my facts, and he had every right to correct me there. And, yes, Mark is smart in the second year of his career, not the third.
Facts to facts. You know, I make the same mistake about James Young. I think I said that he had been here for 3 years. It seems like he's been in the D-League for 3 years and on the bench for 3 years, but I guess it's only been two, something. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's been
yeah.
a long time, it seems like. But on to more positive things. I just wanted to jump off what you guys were saying about coming to a franchise like the Celtics and the tradition that brings for whoever it may be. I'm not going to say KD because I'm not wild about getting our hopes up in the fantasies and all that other stuff, even though I do think having Kendrick Perkins in the locker room is kind of the trade that pays off years later by having that, you know, kind of recruiter in the locker room there. But whoever it is, there's not just a basketball tradition and brotherhood in the Boston area, but also a sports tradition and brotherhood in the Boston area of legends that are still alive, of living legends that are still
mm-hmm.
playing. Like, I know
mm-hmm.
not everybody that's a Celtic fan is a Red Sox fan, Nick, or a... or
that was
a,
nice and subtle.
Yeah,
or
very.
A Patriots fan, you know, but the ability to come to a city like Boston, which is, if nothing else, a bigger market than, for example, Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma,
it does have, you know, it does have all the sports tradition. And to come here, even just winning one championship, the way Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Rajon Rondo did, gets you into that
club. It's a fraternity.
That club. And it's
yeah.
You're not just part of that one championship team. You're part of that whole tradition and legacy that hangs from the Raptors. You know what I mean?
That's a great point. And I want to jump in and just mention something because I was lucky enough about a month ago, I was at a Bruins game doing some work, and it was the night that Claude Julien broke the all-time record for most wins as a Bruins coach, and they ran this great tribute.
Yep.
And it's one thing to run a tribute video. Lots of places run a tribute video. But on that tribute video was Terry Francona and Doc Rivers. These are guys
right.
that left town sort of unceremoniously. Both of them had some baggage when they left town. But they're forever a part of the fraternity because of the championships that were won in their time together here. That's such a great point, Nick, that you bring up, because once you are here and you establish yourself as a champion, it never goes away.
Never. And the thing is, you don't just – I mean, you just get that one ring, and you get to that one parade, and you get to touch that one trophy. But – it feels like you get more than that. Like you get, you know, that whole legacy up there. So if you help the Celtics win Banner 18, it's almost like you've won 18. So why go somewhere where you can help a franchise win their first championship or maybe their, you know, their third or their fifth, whatever it is, when you can go and get, you know, 18 rings for the price of one? You get to be part of, you know, the Patriots dynasty and rub elbows with, you know, Tom Brady. You get to do all that kind of stuff. And I think that's fantastic. And I think that's a big draw now as much as anything else, as much as the other stereotypes about the town of Boston, you know, the weather, which is, I think, almost irrelevant at this point. Boston is a market. And I think that, you know, there's a tradition there that not many other cities can match. I don't even think LA can match that. They don't have the football. Well, they do now, but they haven't, you know. So there's all those things that they just don't have that, you know, Boston does. So I think Boston should be considered in the same breath as those type of markets. But just my opinion. I think
it's a great opinion, and it's one that I think it has to be Nick, the right free agent, because again, when you look across the NBA landscape, right? You've got a lot of guys that I'm not going to say that they're unintelligent. I'm not going to do that because I don't know these guys personally. But a lot of these guys don't understand the rich tradition of the Celtics or of the city of Boston. But a guy that's an East Coast guy like a Kevin Durant that grew up in Baltimore, that has made himself publicly known as a true historian of the game, this guy appreciates the history. Not all of these guys know the history, let alone appreciate it. So I think a sales pitch where you sell him on being a part of the city and the tradition and all the winning that has taken part here in the past, that will have an impact on a guy like Kevin Durant, where it may not have such a large impact on another free agent that can't appreciate the past in the way that KD can.
Definitely, absolutely. And speaking of free agents, just one last point, since the major discussion on tonight's broadcast besides the game was Jared Sullinger and what might happen with him in free agency. Clearly, there are better players out there for our system than Jared Sullinger. But like Nick Gelsos has said multiple times on the show, you can't just let 10 rebounds or 8 rebounds, 9 rebounds a game walk away without some kind of either equal or better replacement. Because if you don't have that, then this team regresses. And I think the argument that Jared Sullinger is playing his best basketball now that he ever will play, that he'll regress once he's hit with that money, I just don't see that. I think that if you find somebody better, sure, you take that chance, you sign him. Like maybe if that you know, fantasy Horford Kevin Durant deal goes through. But if not, I think you really need to look at home and keep the continuity until maybe, you know, a couple years down the line when you can make a trade for some of those players and maybe when the free agency market looks a little bit deeper than it does this offseason.
Well, Nick Sesento, as always, we appreciate the time. We appreciate the phone call. I don't have to tell you to not be a stranger to the show. We know you'll be there next week for the final two post-game shows of the regular season. We really do appreciate you taking the time this evening on a night where it's not always easy or fun to call into a post-game show when the Celtics let down in the fashion that they did tonight, truly collapsing the final 3 minutes of the game. I think what makes it sort of okay is that what I wrote down when I was doing my pre-show routine here, I did write down uncharacteristically, and I think that that's a good thing. This Celtics team has really made their bones this season staying poised, especially the second half of the year. And that's what makes them so good on the second night of back-to-backs with travel. They're a very poised team for a young team. I called them mature earlier in the show, and I really believe that that is a big part of what this team has done to make this such a successful campaign. Unfortunately, because of the loss tonight, they're mathematically now eliminated from the possibility of winning 50 games. That mattered to me because I think that number matters. I think it's such a big jump. When you look at the progression of Brad Stevens in year one, winning 27 games, year two, winning 40 games, this year, let's say they win their final two games and they finish the season with 49 wins. Although it's a 9-game jump, a 9-game improvement, that one extra game that pushes it at 50 and changes that first digit to a 5 rather than a 4, I think that matters. Not only to fans, I think it matters to the players and to the organization because it represents another dramatic win jump. Again, I can't get too caught up. It is only one win, but there's something in my opinion that's very symbolic about hitting the 50 win mark. And overall, to be the second youngest team in the NBA and to be competing for 50 wins, regardless of how they got here, regardless of the fact that it only took them 2.5 years to come this far, regardless of the fact that if we could hop in the time machine and this were 3 years ago to the day, we'd be talking about a Celtics team that featured Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. And if you check the numbers, this is off the top of my head, I believe this year's team is going to wind up with more wins than the final Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett team did. I believe they won 46 or 47 games and wound up being a 6 or 7 seed and played the New York Knicks in the first round. And we all know how that ended. So this Celtics team has already surpassed what a Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett led team did. I think fans lose sight of that. I think that we're so spoiled sometimes here that we don't realize what the Celtics have accomplished, Nick, in the last 2 years doesn't happen. You don't get this sort of turnaround without getting yourself a Ray Allen and a Kevin Garnett to team up with a Paul Pierce. This sort of thing in the NBA, it's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to either trade for a great player, sign a great player, or draft a great player. Not do this sort of piecemeal rebuild the way that the Celtics have been able to.
Yep.
I think you're going to start to see a lot of other teams try and emulate this. It'll be very interesting to see if other teams can sort of get that magic formula that Brad Stevens has gotten down so well here and so quickly.
Well said, man. I mean, very well said. And fans do lose sight of it. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I mean, we were so spoiled for so long. And it's good to have the Celtics back in the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference. And I'm really excited about the future, regardless of what happens during this playoff run. Pat, another great night hosting with you, man. Don't forget, tomorrow Celtics beat Taz Mellis, featured guest.
Unbelievable. It's going to be a great show. Larry H. Russell will deliver, as always. So tomorrow, Sunday, is Celtics beat day. Monday, we're back here for the postgame show. While you're hanging out, don't forget, 4 o'clock on Monday, Larry H. Russell with the pregame show. I'm going to go out of network right now and tell you guys, listen to Larry H. Russell on Monday at 4 o'clock. Then at 5:30, head on over to ESPNNHradio.com. Or if you happen to be in New Hampshire, tune in to 900 or 1250 AM or the ESPN Radio app. I'll be on from 5:30 to 7:30 with my good friend Antoine Walker. Will co-host an hour with me on Monday.
Nice,
so we're looking forward
man.
To Twan. Yeah, he's going to wiggle his way into the playoffs. And then Wednesday, I believe I'm back here hosting the final postgame show of the regular season. So CLNS Radio is here for you guys, the Celtics fans, from now until game one of the NBA playoffs 1 week from tonight.
We can't wait. And then we'll be with you through the postseason. But, dude, co-hosting with friggin' Twan, man, that's fantastic. And then, of course, you have LHR on. That's awesome. Great to have this great partnership we have going with you, Patrick, and ESPN New Hampshire. And great to host with you, and I'll see you again on the season finale on Wednesday, I believe, against the Heat.
It's Wednesday night against the Heat. At that point, it's no more speculation, Nick. We'll know exactly where the Celtics wind up in the conference standings. We'll know exactly who their first-round opponent is. And we'll really be able to get into the meat of the NBA playoffs and where the Celtics fall into that sort of arena, and I'm really looking forward to it. The adrenaline starts kicking this time of the season. The NBA's regular season is coming to a close. The playoffs are here, and the Celtics are a part of the playoffs. And as a fan, that's really all you can ask for. And as a broadcaster, well, it's bonus radio, and there's really nothing better than that. So, again, we appreciate you being here, Nick. We appreciate the callers, Double Allen tonight. You guys really brought it. Sam, thank you so much. Nick Sesento, thank you for doing what you do. It's been a great night. And for my good friend Nick Gelso, I'm Patrick Gilroy. Until next week, enjoy what's left of your weekend.